Welcome to today's edition of the Maya Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Haley Gilley. In addition to feature reports, I'll bring you a look at regional and national agricultural news, and the show starts with a look at California agricultural news. A new study that can help growers and other readers estimate costs and potential returns for growing strawberries on California's Central Coast was recently released by UC Agriculture and Natural Resources, UC Cooperative Extension, and the UC Davis Department of Agricultural and Resource Economics. This study provides growers with a baseline to estimate their own costs, which can help when applying for production loans, projecting labor costs, securing market arrangements, or understanding costs associated with water and nutrient management and regulatory programs. The cost study models a management scenario for a 50-acre farm, 45 acres of which are planted to strawberries, located in Santa Cruz, Monterey, or San Benito counties. The remaining acres are for the irrigation system, roads, and buildings. The study describes the cultural practices used in strawberry production and harvest, including land preparation, soil fertility and pest management, irrigation, and labor needs. The 19-page study shows costs for each operation, material inputs and costs, and cash and non-cash overhead costs in a variety of formats for one production and harvest cycle. A ranging analysis is also included and shows potential profits or losses over a range of prices and yields. With a construction boom of methane digester projects on California dairy farms in recent years, milk producers have begun to reduce the powerful greenhouse gas emitted by the manure coming from their cows. Now they must tackle the methane coming from the front end of their animals. Cow burps emit what's known as enteric methane, and the race to reduce it represents a new frontier for the dairy industry. The California Dairy Sustainability Summit in Davis last week shed light on some of the latest innovations in feed, genetics, and vaccines showing promise. State and federal water providers have increased promise allocations after accounting for recent storms that improved snowpack and reservoir levels. The California Department of Water Resources doubled the amount of water it expects to deliver this year to most contractors that rely on the state water project from 15% to 30% of requested supplies. The U.S. Bureau of Reclamation increased Central Valley Project allocations for South of Delta agricultural water users from 15% to 35% of their contracted allotment and from 75% to 100% for those north of the Delta. Starting this May, Progressive Produce and its Keystone Fruit Marketing Division are introducing California flat sweet onions to their year-round sweet onion program. Available in a 40-pound carton or a 2-pound bag, Progressive and Keystone's California flat sweet onions cater to both retail and food service customers. The program features a range of sweet onions, including Vidalia's, Walla Walla sweet onions, and Mayan sweets from Peru and Mexico. With a diverse selection, Progressive Produce and Keystone Fruit Marketing say that they can ensure uninterrupted supply to meet consumer-customer demands throughout the year. California stands out as a year-round producer of strawberries in the U.S., dominating the market from April to November. In contrast, Florida's harvest season spans from mid-December to mid-May, primarily catering to the winter and spring demands. According to data from the annual acreage survey conducted by the California Strawberry Commission, California's strawberry acreage is poised for a 1.4% increase in 2024, reaching 40,865 acres. This growth mirrors a consistent upward trend in acreage since 2019, signifying the state's commitment to meeting the demands of both domestic and international markets. The majority of this increase, approximately three-quarters, is concentrated in the Watsonville region of Central California. However, the summer-planted acreage, expected to be harvested in the fall of 2024, is anticipated to experience a slight decline. Moreover, organic production in California is projected to occupy approximately 4,860 acres in 2024, marking an 8% decrease from the previous year. The strawberry industry in California remains robust, with consistent growth in acreage and production. Despite fluctuations in shipment volumes and pricing dynamics, California continues to play a pivotal role in meeting both domestic and international demands for strawberries, reaffirming its status as a key player in the global market. More normal harvest timing for California cherries is setting the stage for a successful season, cherry shippers say. In terms of volume, the industry is still estimating it to be in the 8 million to 9 million box range, just slightly down from last season, said Chris Currillo, Vice President of Strategic Business Development and Analysis for OPI. However, what's promising is that we anticipate a more regular window starting from the end of April compared to closer to the end of May last year. This season, we're expecting better sizing and overall quality of fruit. OPI expects its harvest of California cherries to start at the tail end of April with its southern grower partners and then extend through the midpoint of June as OPI shifts into its northern orchards around the Lodi area. Other shippers agree that the outlook for California cherries is positive. Based on bloom patterns from early sites, steam melt season will start towards the end of April, said Brianna Shales, marketing director of Steam Melt Growers. This will be much earlier in contrast to last year's record late start. As we start to increase in volume slowly through early May, we will build into promotable volumes leading into Memorial Day through early June. The harvest season for California cherries will start earlier than last year and closer to historical norms. That is welcome news since last season's start was late and overlaps heavily with the Northwest cherry harvest. As Cinco de Mayo approaches, produce companies and retailers are preparing promotions to boost sales of fresh fixings for guacamole, tacos, burritos, and other Mexican food favorites. It's no surprise that demand for avocados spikes in the days and weeks leading up to May 5th. The holiday is second only to the Super Bowl in terms of consumption, mainly in the form of guacamole. California's avocado yield is also on track for a healthy Cinco de Mayo supply. The California Avocado Commission estimates the 2024 crop will be slightly smaller than average at 200 million pounds total for the season, with consistent crop size and availability.
Early registration for the 2024 Crop Consultant Conference, hosted by Progressive Crop Consultant Magazine and Western Region Certified Crop Advisors, is now open. The popular event for certified crop advisors, pest control advisors, grower applicators, and industry professionals is the mainstay for all continuing education needs this year and will take place on September 25th and 26th at the Visalia Convention Center. Visit myaglife.com/events for the early discounted rate of $275 per person, which includes the live conference, a trade show with 70-plus exhibits, first-class dining, entertainment, and a mixer. We'll see you there. And now, a story from the April edition of West Coast Nut Magazine. Go north, young man. Water availability, prices drive increased Sacramento Valley pistachio acreage. By Vicky Boyd, contributing writer. Sacramento Valley pistachio acreage continues to grow, spurred by better prices compared to competing crops, a more positive water outlook, and boron tolerance. But the movement isn't without challenges as North State producers grapple with the cost of logistics of trucking their crop to San Joaquin Valley haulers. Tarabella-based Seton Farms has been one of those attracted to Northern California, having purchased more than 1,300 acres in Yolo County over the past 4 years. Only part of the acreage is currently planted in pistachios. Quote, "We've been hesitant because of Botrytis spirea issues in the past, but we think we have a pretty good way to deal with the diseases," end quote, said Jeff Gibbons, Seton Farms grower relations manager. Quote, "With the drought conditions we've been experiencing, it makes more sense to be north of the Delta because there are so many restrictions about moving water south in the California aqueduct," end quote. UCCE Farm Advisor Catherine Jarvis Sheen, who serves Sacramento, Solano, and Yolo counties, agreed, saying water availability is one of the big drivers in increased Sacramento Valley pistachio plantings. Sigma factors into northward migration. Various groups have predicted at least 500,000 to 1 million acres of farmland will have to be fallowed by 2040 to meet the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act goals. Passed by the California legislature in 2014, Sigma requires groundwater basins to develop and implement sustainability plans that balance groundwater withdrawal with recharge. Much of that idled farmland, including pistachio and almond ground, will come from the South San Joaquin Valley. In that region, groundwater overdraft has been exacerbated by federally legislated reductions in Central Valley Project surface irrigation supplies. Quote, "We see bigger scale folks eyeing the water we have up here," Jarvis Sheen said. "If you have ample clean water, the South San Joaquin is still a better place to grow pistachios in terms of yield. But if you don't have clean water, clean soil, or don't have enough water and you already have ground up here, pistachios can look pretty attractive," end quote. That's not to say Sacramento Valley groundwater basins don't have to develop and implement their own sustainable groundwater plans. They do, but groundwater overdraft hasn't been nearly the problem in the north part of the state because of the more reliable surface supplies. In pistachios, water plays a unique role beyond just tree health, Gibbons said. Particularly in the winter, ample water sets the stage for improved hull integrity during the growing season, which in turn reduces naval orangeworm damage. As a result, he said they've noticed generally less NOW damage to pistachios grown in the north compared to those from the San Joaquin Valley. Boron, a factor in Yolo County. In Yolo County specifically, boron found in soil and irrigation water also has contributed to increased pistachio acreage, Jarvis Sr. said. The naturally occurring element can be problematic to walnuts and almonds, which are relatively susceptible and become less productive under high concentrations. Because pistachios are less sensitive and can still be productive under higher boron levels, she said many growers have shifted acreage. Quote, that's why pistachios have been exploding so much in Yolo County, end quote, Jarvis Sheen said. When she was conducting her doctoral research on pistachios and almonds from 2009 to 2012, When she was conducting her doctoral research on pistachios and almonds from 2019 to 2012, Jarvis Sheen said she struggled to find a pistachio orchard in the Sacramento Valley in which to conduct her studies. That's not the case anymore. Nick Edsall, orchard manager for Woodland-based Bullseye Farms, said they began planting pistachios about 10 years ago because of boron issues and to continue diversification. Quote, we were looking at just planting a lot more permanent crops, thinking that once you get them established, it's not so hard to manage them and also the margins are better, he said. But with all the downward trends in permanent crops the last few years, we're very happy we're still in the row crop business, end quote. Yolo County has historically been row crop country. As growers including Bullseye began planting almonds and walnuts, they noticed problems with boron. Quote, we can get away with almonds on a percentage of our ground, Edsall said of the boron problem. Walnuts we can only plant on a small percentage because the leaves just burn up. By August, the leaves turn brown and shrivel, end quote. To remain diversified, Edsall said they looked to pistachios. Quote, they actually do a little bit better when the boron levels are a little higher, he said. With the levels we have in our soils in Yolo County, you might consider that optimal for pistachios, end quote. Over the years, they planted 1,000 acres with the first harvest in 2020. Although the crop remains profitable, Edsall said he's worried down the road. Quote, even now, the economics are good for pistachios, but we're kind of scared that won't be the case in the near future, he said. 10 years ago, it looked really good, end quote. The go-go days of planting in Northern California may have slowed, said Yolo County Deputy Ag Commissioner Molly Matthews. Quote, we've generally noticed a slowdown in converting from annual crops to permanent crops, she said. I think the pistachio price is still stronger compared to walnuts or almonds, but I think we're going to hit a pause in planting any orchard commodity, end quote. Labor costs play a role. Although not specific to the Sacramento Valley, labor costs also have prompted a shift into more mechanized crops, including pistachios, Jarvis Sheen said. Quote, when you look at mechanized crops, walnut prices are not good, she said. Almond prices are not good. Processing tomato contract prices and acreage are down. Even though we're at the very beginning, we're starting to see pistachio prices go in the same direction, but it's still the most appealing mechanized crop for most of the valley, end quote. Drawing from USDA data, UCCE Assistant Professor of Ag Economics Jay Sayer said that state's pistachio growers saw average returns of $2 per pound in 2022. That compared to $4.50 per pound in 2013 and 2014. He cited world production increasing by nearly 40% in 2023 to 24 due to an on-year for some of the drop in returns. The U.S. grows most of the world's pistachios, followed by Iran and Turkey. Quote, recently demand hasn't kept up with the global supply, he said during a virtual presentation at the recent UC Sacramento Valley pistachio meeting in Woodland. That in turn could lead to a nearly doubling of ending stocks, which could put additional pressure on grower prices. Hauling logistics remain a challenge. One of the challenges with northern pistachio production is the lack of hauling facilities. More than other tree nuts, pistachios need to be hulled within 24 to 48 hours of harvest to prevent shell staining. With most of the crop going in shell, maintaining a nice blonde shell is critical. Bullseye Farms spent about $1,000 per load to truck their crop to a facility near Firebaugh in 2023, and the cost would likely be more if they had to ship to facilities farther south. But Edsall said logistics may be more of an issue. They have to schedule harvests so they have a full load by the end of the day, since they don't want partial loads sitting overnight. Quote, "You just have to stay on top of the harvesting crews," end quote, he said. North State growth by the numbers. While the 13,065 bearing acres in 11 Sacramento Valley counties pales in comparison to the state's 461,080 overall bearing acres reported by the Pistachio Administrative Committee, the rapid expansion has nonetheless caught people's attention. In Yolo County, for example, farm gate value for pistachios has grown from just $2.5 million in 2019 to about $27.5 million in 2022, according to the County Agricultural Commissioner's crop report. In both 2021 and 2022, pistachios were among the top 10 most valuable crops in the county based on farm gate value. The huge jump in pistachio crop value is due to young acreage beginning to bear and trees that are a little bit older reaching peak production, Yolo County's Matthews said. In the 11 Northern California counties combined, growers harvested about 41.6 million pounds of pistachios for open shell, closed shell, and shelling stock in 2023, according to the Administrative Committee. To maintain grower privacy, the committee combines data from Butte, Colusa, Glen, Placer, Sacramento, Shasta, Solano, Sutter, Tehama, Yolo, and Yuba counties. Statewide, growers harvested more than 1.48 billion pounds. If you want to read this story as well, visit the April edition of West Coast Nut magazine or go to WCNGG.com. You're listening to My Ag Life. I'm Taylor Jahlstrom. By partnering with JCS Marketing Incorporated, your company can achieve 3.5 million impressions to growers, consultants, and industry professionals annually. Our comprehensive media suite, which includes prestigious publications as well as dynamic websites, targeted emails, engaging podcasts, and premier trade shows, provides a strategic platform for targeting key decision makers. This approach can amplify your company's visibility to a specific audience and fosters meaningful connections, positioning your brand at the forefront of the agricultural community. Don't wait for success to come to you. Call our office today at 559-352-4456. That's 559-352-4456.
Cotton acres are expected to rise 4% in 2024, a number that was a bit surprising to the trade. While that increase might be reflected in the June acreage report, another key question is if cotton demand can continue to find footing and support higher prices. USDA's prospective plantings report showed cotton farmers plan to plant 10.7 million acres in 2024. That's lower than what many expected leading into the report. South America might be the biggest wild card for both supply and demand, but outside of South America, the demand picture hinges on a strong economy in the U.S. and around the globe. The recent USDA-led agricultural trade mission to South Korea was designed to build upon existing relationships to diversify export opportunities to that market. Rod Bain reports.
Some of the numbers associated with USDA's latest agricultural trade mission, a recent visit to South Korea.
Our U.S. delegation included 36 businesses, 12 agricultural associations, and 5 states were represented, including secretaries, directors, or commissioners from Arkansas, California, Indiana, and North Dakota. This was USDA's second trade mission to Korea. The first was in 2018, and it's the second of 7 that we will be hosting this year to support U.S. food and agricultural businesses.
That's Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Agricultural Affairs Alexis Taylor discussing the mission with reporters after returning from South Korea.
Our exporters and businesses that we had with us conducted 616 meetings with potential importers and buyers looking to expand the variety of U.S. food and agricultural products that they're offering to Korean consumers. And those participating companies reported $67 million in projected 12-month sales from those meetings, which are really pretty remarkable numbers.
This builds upon an already strong trade relationship between the two nations and access to a strong export market.
Exports of U.S. food and agricultural products to Korea were just over $8 billion last year in 2023, really built upon the Korea-U.S. Free Trade Agreement, but also a really strong and strategic bilateral relationship that we have. That $8 billion of U.S. food and ag exports made Korea our 5th largest single country export market. The top 5 U.S. agricultural exports related to Korea were beef, pork, seafood, wheat, dried distillers, grain, DDGs, and food preparation. But we also see a lot of diversity going into that market. So we see really strong interest in U.S. fruit and vegetables, nuts, dairy and eggs, coffee, distilled spirits, pet foods, and then consumer packaged goods, condiments and sauces.
Commenting on the recent mission, two state Ag Department heads and delegation members, Indiana Ag Director Don Lamb and Arkansas Ag Secretary Wes Ward.
My first time to Korea, just learning about building those relationships, learning that culture, and really learning about the political situation that they're in and how that affects us.
We're trying to grow our exports here in Arkansas and diversify our markets, and that certainly was a big topic for this trade mission.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture has expanded its Nursery Value Select crop insurance program to all counties in all states, and the USDA Risk Management Agency is encouraging interested nursery producers to learn more about the program through upcoming informational workshops. These sessions will be valuable for producers in the newly expanded areas and especially for the nursery field grown and container crop insurance program, which ends beginning with the 2026 crop year. Nursery Value Select is a pilot program that enables nursery producers to select the dollar amount of coverage that best fits their risk management needs. Its expansion is part of RMA's efforts to provide insurance options for a broader group of producers, including specialty crop producers. When other countries do well economically, so too does the U.S. dairy industry, now that 18% of U.S. milk supply is sent overseas in the form of dairy products. In February, U.S. dairy exports bested prior year levels for the first in a year. The U.S. exported a total of 95.6 million pounds of cheese in February, 27.3% more than in the same month last year, and Mexico purchased a record high of 36.6 million pounds as the country continued to rebound from the COVID pandemic. Last year, Mexico's economy grew 3.2%. The second year in a row, the country's economic growth exceeded 3%, putting economic growth back to pre-pandemic levels. Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack announced that USDA's Food and Nutrition Service, FNS, has finalized updates to the foods prescribed to participants in the Special Supplemental Nutrition Program for Women, Infants, and Children, known as WIC. These science-based revisions incorporate recommendations from the National Academies of Science, Engineering, and Medicine and the Dietary Guidelines for Americans 2020 through 2025. Today's announcement follows the Biden-Harris administration's successful efforts to ensure that WIC was fully funded for fiscal year 2024, including an extra $1 billion for the Special Supplemental Nutrition Program for WIC. The administration was able to secure in total over $7 billion in critical funding to provide nearly 7 million pregnant women, new mothers, infants, and young children with critical nutritional assistance they need and deserve. These improvements to the WIC food packages support fruit and vegetable consumption by increasing the amount provided and the varieties available for purchase. FNS has made a permanent significant boost to the fruit and vegetable benefit provided to WIC participants, providing participants with up to four times the amount they would otherwise receive. The changes will provide participants with a wider variety of foods to support healthier dietary patterns and allow WIC state agencies more flexibility to tailor the food packages to accommodate personal and cultural food preferences and special dietary needs, making the program more appealing for current and potential participants. WIC state agencies will have 2 years to implement these changes, allowing time to engage with key partners on how best to tailor the new food packages to meet the needs of participants.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Reports. I'm Haley Gilley. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.